Have our opening prayer. Heavenly Father, great God in heaven, we come to worship you just as you taught us as our Father. You gave manna in the wilderness long ago, and you still provide for those who hunger and thirst today. May the songs we sing and the words we say and what we think and feel be acceptable and pleasing to you. And forgive us when what we say is harmful, a poor choice of words. Forgive us when our actions do not live up to our words of faith. Even so, you still sent your Spirit to live within us that we might become a people of integrity. Thank you, Father, for blessing us this hour and every day. May we leave this place with a heart ready to share your good news with others in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In my travels through life, I've heard people express an almost universal desire to understand and answer questions about life and death. For example, what is the point of living life for such a short time? An inner voice tells us that our very existence is important. We sense that life is important. So shouldn't our lives be considerably longer than they are? By the time we learn something, we're 80 years old, and then it's time to move on. Scripture tells us that we are wonderfully made. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. I used to feel, maybe sometimes I still do, that it was a huge, inordinate waste of time to make us in such an amazing fashion for just a brief encounter with life. You would think that such creative exuberance and attention to detail would have determined that our bodies would never wear out. The teacher in Ecclesiastes tells us that he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God has set eternity in our hearts. There's a spiritual drumbeat inside of us that sends out a continuous message always popping up in our minds. The message insists that we were created to be external beings by an external God for an eternal time. It's a message that seems to suggest that we were made for something else, for another world. Even when I was just a boy, I asked these questions about life and death. I did. Well, there is good news. Scripture gives us the answer. Scripture tells us that we are on a journey that takes us to what God has prepared for those whom he loves. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Our journey takes us into a relationship with God through the Messiah, Messiah Jesus. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the way. Knowing God through Jesus is the most important thing in the world. Jesus is the only way to satisfy the deep yearnings we all have for love, for meaning and significance, for peace, and all the other things that our hearts cry out for. The teacher in Ecclesiastes is Solomon. He wasted much of his life in meaningless pursuits, and he was haunted by his own foolishness. He warned us that you can't do yesterday again. You only have today. He was old and gray as he wrote for the next generation and for the generations to come here in the book of Ecclesiastes. He knew from bitter experience how easy it is to allow time to be crowded with anything and everything in the world, to never get around to using these graciously given moments of life to pursue God's purpose. He advised us to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, "I find no pleasure in them." Our birthdays come along too fast, just like electric poles on the highway. And the older we get, the more set in our ways we become. We lose our willingness to think new thoughts, to dream new dreams, and to question what truth really is. Solomon argued that the brevity of life is all the more reason to discard meaningless, empty pursuits. We must not waste these precious moments of life God has given to us. It would be a shame if after you grow old, you step off the end of your brief life journey into the next space without a clue as to the purpose of your existence. That would be a waste of life. So what then is the significance of being me or you or me? My significance, your significance is God-given. God gave each of us our purpose, our reason for existence. When you seek and find God, it is His significance that gives you your significance. When you learn to fear and obey Him, then you find the secret of living life on this little planet that hangs in space. And so Solomon concluded, "Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. It took Solomon most of his life to discover the meaning of his existence. He came to a conclusion: keep the commandments of God. That is the meaning of our existence. That's it. Solomon directs us to do what God tells us to do. That's the reason we are here. The whole purpose of life in this place, on this planet. Our activities find a purpose only in a relationship with our Maker, pleasing and serving Him. That's the whole thing, the whole enchilada. Wisdom is coming to that conclusion as soon as possible in order not to live a wasted and frustrated life. It's the only path that makes sense of life on planet Earth. That's God's sense. That sense, S-E-N-S-E, that is spiritual wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We read in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, "You can't have God's sense without God. Wisdom is found beyond the place where human knowledge is. We aren't born naturally wise. We need to connect to God. We must connect to His wisdom if we are to live happily under the sun." a term Solomon used over and over again in this book of Ecclesiastes, life under the sun. And that's what Solomon asked for. When he became the king of Israel, he knew his limited knowledge wasn't enough for the task ahead. He asked God for more wisdom than he possessed. God appeared to him in a dream, and God told him to ask for anything he wanted. He asked for wisdom to govern the people of Israel. And God was pleased with his request and granted him wisdom such as no man had before or after him. Solomon asked what we should ask for: God sense, spiritual wisdom. Pastor James wrote, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." We need to acquire wisdom that comes from Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's better to be wise than foolish. Really? Solomon saw how foolish people without God sense can be, and he described them in several ways. So first, I'll express in 21st century language an unwise action, and then I'll repeat it the way Solomon said it in Ecclesiastes. It's unwise to never be serious. So Solomon said, "It is silly to be laughing all the time. What good does it do?" It's unwise to always think that you should do what makes you feel good. Solomon said, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure." It's unwise to say, "Don't waste your time thinking, just do something." Some people have been known to say, "Just do something, even if it's wrong." Solomon said, The wise man has eyes in his head, while the fool walks in the darkness. It's unwise to learn nothing from experience. Solomon said, "Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to take a warning." It's unwise to never change your mind. A wise person chooses the right road. A fool takes the wrong one. You can identify fools just by the way they walk down the street, according to Solomon. It's unwise to make dishonest friends. Solomon said, "As goods increase, so do those who consume them." Win the lottery, you get lots of friends. And finally, it's unwise to criticize others who have faults. Solomon put it this way: "Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips." How do we acquire wisdom to avoid doing these unwise things? We acquire wisdom from God through His Holy Spirit and from His Word, and by listening to the teaching of His representatives, wise men and women, especially the older ones who have grown in wisdom already. As we grow older and grow in our spiritual maturity, it is a joy to pass on God's knowledge to the generations to come. Like Solomon, let us not only seek wisdom from God, let us also share it with others. After living as if God was absent from His universe and experiencing the heartache and misery of that approach, Solomon understood that the person who marginalizes God is a miserable person indeed. No one wants to be around that person. What does life and death hold for the person who has no use for God? What does life and death hold for the person who talks as if he or she knows God but ignores Him? A pretender who marginalizes God. Can godless people and those who marginalize God find peace of mind or joy or contentment and always in answers to the deeper cries of the heart. No. And then after their brief moment of life, one day God will marginalize them. In fact, he will do more than just push them to the margins of heaven. He will inform them that they don't even belong there. Then the tears will flow. But for those whom God has forgiven in the name of Jesus, they have found the reason for living and dying. And they live and die with a song in their heart. Too many people believe that there is no one in the universe who cares about what happens on this planet. No one out there at the end of one's life journey. These people have no alternative but to say with Solomon, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. No one who believes like that can have a song in their heart. Solomon concluded that trying, apart from God, to find answers to life's big questions is like chasing the wind. Apart from God, he could find nothing that made sense of life or death, not pleasure, not work, and especially not human wisdom. How can anyone find joy in that? How can you have a song in your heart when there is no point to living? It is futile to live and not know the reason why you live. What a waste it is to live without enjoying life, without knowing what life is all about, because you spent your whole life chasing what cannot satisfy you. If the daily routine of life is not seen through the eyes of faith, then what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? Without faith in God, then everything is weary and tired. No matter how much you see and hear, you will never be content. That's how life is when you are separate from God. And it's not just the environment that will have no purpose or meaning. People will also have no meaning, no significance. He wrote, chapter 1, verse 4, generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. History repeats itself. It has all been done before. Life, in a significant way, depends on how you look at nature and the cycle of life. There's an enormous difference in the mindset between God-seekers and self-seekers. For those who search for God, the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. The evidence in nature about the Creator is overwhelming, and it should convince you that God is there. How sad it is when a person observes the order, the rhythm of nature, yet they miss the glory of God. When Laura and I have breakfast together, I often watch the sun rise out over our upper porch as it shines incredibly beautiful sunbeams through the trees. The animals in our backyard, the squirrels, the birds, occasional bunny, they seem to recognize the cathedral before them that displays God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his eternal nature. Despite the corruption and the wickedness and the sorrow and the sadness of our world, the sun still rises in a glorious fashion every day as God gives us yet another chance to respect him and to obey his commandments. The purpose of life. Has God put eternity in your heart? Has he given you the gift of time, even if only briefly, to realize that you are born for another world? Eternity future, That's why we only have 80 years or so. Because we're meant for a different future. God has created me and you, and we have been redeemed. For us who claim to be followers of Jesus, keeping God's commandments should be our chief and our highest joy. It is wonderful to live with a song in my heart, even though the world around me is in turmoil. There was a comedian back in 1978, a lady named Irma Bombeck. She published a book in 1978 entitled, "If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, What Am I Doing in the Pits?" Do you think Solomon would have liked that line? I think so. Sometimes life is a bowl of cherries, and sometimes it's the pits. That's life under the sun. But life under the S-U-N takes on a whole new meaning when you experience life in the S-O-N. If you get to know Jesus, even if you are in the pits, the unacceptable becomes acceptable. The thorn in your flesh becomes acceptable, tolerable. You still have your problems, but when you live in a deep and growing relationship with Jesus, you can live contently with your problems. You can live with them. So which is it for you? Are you living in relationship with the living God through Messiah Jesus? Are you living life not simply under the S-U-N, but in the S-O-N? Are you living in the S-O-N? If you are, you will know it. Why? Because Jesus will come to you when you're in the pits and offer you wonderful joy and peace that passes all understanding. He will give you assurance that one day he will make everything beautiful in his time. Maybe not today or tomorrow, but one day you can have God-given assurance and serenity that is beyond your comprehension. You can live with a song in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Love to me.